This is the 20th season of the Consumed podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Lewis. And this time around, I'm doing a quick retrospective with clips from the over 200 conversations I've had with eaters, drinkers, thinkers, and makers. I certainly can't include clips from all of them, so I stuck with the moments that have stuck with me over the last 5 years. I categorize them by the different kinds of guests I've had, so it's a great way for devoted listeners to look back or for casual listeners to dip in. I have so enjoyed reliving these moments, and I hope you will too. But first, a quick shout out to the Consumed podcast sponsors. Consumed is sponsored by Midstate Containers Cargo Storage Containers and Refrigerated Shipping Containers for sale and rent in California. You may not understand how Midstate Containers could change your life, but the truth is, many, many guests on the Consumed podcast use Midstate for their projects. Containers can serve as wine storage units for case goods, for private collections, and even tasting rooms. They can be refrigerated storage containers for breweries, kegs, and fruit during harvest for wineries. Midstate Containers outfits coolers and freezers for ranchers, farmers market growers, orchards, and butchers. Containers can make great pop-up coffee bars and berry containers for root cellars. My guest from season 10, Krista Flieger from Lonely Palm Ranch, uses her Midstate container for an office on her property. Other ideas include schoolrooms, music and photography studios, and there are other things that can be grown, stored, and processed in a Midstate container, so use your imagination and get on their website to request a quote, midstatecontainers.com. Slow Food Co-op's mission is to empower health and well-being in the community by providing quality groceries, local produce, and exceptional customer service. Slow Food Co-op sources from local producers, ensuring they offer their shoppers great food and household staples. Slow Food Co-op is your friendly neighborhood grocer, maintaining non-GMO standards and a variety of organic selections. You can find Slow's only community-owned grocery store open every day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., at 2494 Victoria Avenue in San Luis Obispo, California. And check out their website at slowfood.coop. For those of you who swoon over the gear of cooking, I present an episode of memorable interviews with folks who make and sell the products we use to feed ourselves and those we love. So that's what I'm calling it, the gear and retail episode. When my friend Matt Cross guest hosted the podcast one season, he introduced me to a phenomenal young bladesmith named Cameron Alarcio, who forges kitchen knives in Pismo Beach, California. By day, he's a middle school teacher, but by night, he's all knives all the time. In fact, the waiting list to get one of his beautiful blades is very long. If you want one, you'd best get on that list quick. Here, we chatted about a pretty random part of Cameron's bladesmithing career when he wound up on a reality TV show called Forged in Fire.
Okay, yeah, so the show is called Forged in Fire. What they've done is they've taken, like, the cooking show model, like, Chopped almost.
Reality.
Where you start with contestants and they give you a challenge, and then you have to complete the challenge, and whoever doesn't do it well gets, you know, voted off the show or whatever. So I was actually at school one day on my prep period, and I got an email from... I don't even remember what it was. It was their marketing company. And it was somebody reaching out. Hey, I came across your Instagram profile. I see that you make awesome knives. Would you be interested in being on the show? I was like...
So they came to you.
Yeah, they found me somehow. And I said, yeah, what do I need to do? And they said, just fill out this application and we'll get the ball rolling. So it took a while because they obviously film it in different seasons. So they were just finishing up one season and they were trying to line up all their episodes for the next season. So it took a while to get it scheduled. It was an interesting experience.
Yeah. Everybody I've ever asked about a reality show experience, cooking, whatever, they all say that same thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a super people don't walk away being like, awesome, I would.
Well, because the pressure of it. I mean, that's what I noticed.
It was the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, by far. It's just, and I never felt really like I was competing against the other guys there. Hmm. We all felt that we were just competing against the clock.
Yeah.
And without getting into too much of the gritty details, we had a pretty difficult challenge. We had to take a barbecue and find pieces on the barbecue that would have made good steel for knives. And two of the four guys that were there ended up picking a steel that was soft and wouldn't harden into a knife. Mm-hmm. One of them had like 20 minutes to go, and he was just standing around realizing that his knife wasn't going to be sharpened, and he looked like lost. And I was like, dude, what's going on? And he's like, I used the wrong steel. Like, my knife's not going to get hard. I was like, oh, shit. Like, what are we going to do? And he's like, I have no idea.
Because the threat is that he will then be exposed on national television.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is after I had to start over halfway through because the knife that I was working on split in half. Yeah. So I'm struggling hard. And we're trying to find a way to make his knife work. So I was like, here, take this hardenable steel, and we'll just weld it onto the edge of your knife. And then you can shape it, and you'll have a hard edge, but a soft back, which is actually how the Japanese do it, but without MIG welders. Anyway, he ends up doing that, and I somehow pounded out the ugliest turd-looking knife you've ever seen. It was one of those things where, like, I'd watch the show, like, the first season of the show, and I'd watch guys on there like, that's terrible. Like, how did they make that on that show? They must not know anything about making knives. And then I'm on there, and I barely finished this. I mean, calling it a knife would have been the... No, it wasn't a knife.
It was bad.
It was bad. But because one of the guys used a steel that couldn't turn into a knife, he got the boot, and I moved on a technicality. So,
well, I'm glad it didn't end there with you just being like, right? And this is representative of all of my work. You got another chance.
So in the second round, I had a lot of work to do. I had to grind out all of these cracks that were all throughout the turd that I'd turned in. I was doing my best to polish this turd the entire second round.
The word turd.
I know. I don't know why.
No, it just doesn't matter. However you say it, I will laugh every single time.
I've ever used that word so much as right now.
It's good. It's a good word. I like it.
So I was able to finish it, but I needed 5 more minutes to just like polish off some of the parts of the knife. And then when it got to testing, it tested well. It didn't break. But the other two guys just had more time to finish. So theirs were a much more complete project, and I got kicked off after the second round.
Man.
But it was a fun experience overall. I don't know if I'd do it again.
What did you learn?
I learned reality TV is sucks. Not even close to real. God, it was so weird how they would just like do take after take after take until they got like the right look on the judge's face. And I'm like, all right, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, guys?
That's
But anyway, I learned that I need to slow down in my work all the time. I have not rushed anything since being on that show. I've always like taken extra time. Like, hey, I'm not on the clock right now. I can take as long as I need to make it right.
Well, that's what I noticed about the show. When I watched it, was like, in what situation is like, are you like, you need to make a knife in 3 hours? You
know,
it's like,
not that, even MacGyver.
No, nobody, that's not fine quality. Like, you don't go, this is great furniture maker because he makes your furniture an hour and a half. he just cranks it out. He doesn't check the details. He just gets it out there as good as he can.
So fast.
It's amazing. We just love it. We paid extra money for it. You know, it's like, you want the quality, take your time, do it well. I mean, that's every quality craftsman that throughout history, I think, is, you know, like if they take a long time to do it and perfect it.
Making
you know?
A knife really fast. That's an odd premise.
It was so interesting though. Like when they first got all the contestants there together, they're like, all right, we're gonna be honest with you guys. We're not here to showcase your skill as craftsmen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are here to sell ads
and
we are here to entertain the audience. And it was nice that they were really upfront with us about it, and they said, you know, don't try to make your best knife ever. Mm. You just need to make something that is going to pass all of the tests. Mm.
I've been going to Miner's Ace hardware stores across the Central Coast since I was a kid. In many ways, it's more than a hardware store, but more like a community hub where people run into each other on a Saturday afternoon shopping for tomato starters or Traeger gear. Plus, there's popcorn on the weekends, a huge selling point. When Miner's Ace Hardware president Paul Felice came on the show, I asked him about the different personalities of the 9 hardware stores in the Miner's universe. Here's what he had to say. It's short, but I'll never forget it.
The different communities, like not growing up here or understanding Los Osos, it's such an eclectic place.
I love, like, not growing up here and not understanding Los Osos.
I still don't really understand it. I was in there one time and a guy actually rode his Harley into the store and was in the store with his Harley and shopping. And it was like
a bar or something.
Should we call the police? Should we ask them to leave? And they're like, no, that's Tim. Or, you know, they knew who he was. And I was like,
oh okay.
All right. Well,
now
it's weird.
Now you're familiar with Tim. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that store, and we just remodeled that a year and a half ago and doubled the size of it. So it's, desperately needed some more space. But it's the most eclectic group of customers and employees that we've had at any store.
In small town San Luis Obispo, inviting close personal friends onto the podcast is inevitable. Such is the case with my dear friends, Josh and Lindsay Herring, who own The Mountain Air, a shop downtown that caters to folks who love the great outdoors, climbing, trekking, camping, and the like. I asked them on to tell me about the latest in cooking on camping or backpacking trips, like gear and new ready-to-eat meal products, and we did that. But first, we had to address the radish in the room. I start by setting the scene on a recent feud between Josh and me. It involves vegetables. So I'm just going to tell from my perspective a little story about Josh Herring. So go to this Halloween party that don't you look forward to it?
I mean, it's a great party.
It's a great party. Costume party, there are prizes, whatever. So
there's a catwalk. I mean, you got to walk out
and you have
chosen music.
You have to choose your music in advance anyway. And it's hosted by somebody who's been on this podcast, Sherry Elliston, who's a registered dietitian, fantastic person. So I don't know. I love a crudité platter. I feel like a total asshole saying this now. I love like a veggie platter that has maybe like salted butter and I love radishes. Mm-hmm. I love them. Okay. So I'm talking to Josh and two other people, I think. Or no, I'm talking to a group of people at this party. I brought this veggie platter.
Because there's a big spread. We should point out. I mean,
gorgeous
there's a big spread.
Yeah.
And kind of potluck style, right? Everybody.
And Sherry makes most of the food, I think. But then she asks people to bring something. So there's all a big potluck. And I'm talking to somebody. And we've all been drinking. And Josh comes up and he goes, oh my God, you guys, would you believe it? Somebody brought radishes to this party. And I said, excuse me, it was me. I brought the radishes to this party. And he goes, why? Why did you bring them? And he says, come over here. I want to show you something. Go over. And on top of my veggie platter, there's this note that says, radishes at a party, ? And then underlined, never again. And I have that note on my fridge because, as I've said before, very few people could pull off saying who brings radishes to a party, going to the trouble of writing a note. Like, I'm sure you had to ask for a pen and paper.
Oh, he used the voting paper. Remember, we vote on best costume.
Right,
so instead
right.
of casting a vote,
he really didn't give it a second
he
thought.
He did cast a vote
you
on
didn't.
Radishes at a party.
It was later in the evening. I will say the radishes were noticeable because everything else was pretty much eaten. So there was a lot of classic party food, more typical party food. It was never an indictment on radishes. It's a fine root or vegetable or whatever
it is.
It was
on me.
It was on the fact that we'd had a few beverages.
Uh-huh.
It was a costume party, lively, good times. And then the radishes seemed like a really stark contrast to all the other emotions.
To cheesy carbohydrate harvest, which is what you want at 11 p.m. Yeah, brownies.
Sure.
So it was never purely about the radishes. I do think radish is an interesting choice for a Halloween costume party. But I think it's brought us closer in a way that we never would have been.
Sure.
So we have radishes.
We do.
To thank for that.
But, we do.
Well, and then I mean, I need to toot my own horn. I did an amazing job the next day.
Amazing.
So everybody's hungover.
Yep. Yeah.
And I had this credit with Instacart.
It was great.
And I told whoever my Instacart person was, I said, I want you to send 100 radishes to this house, this address right here. And
what was that Instacart driver thinking?
Yeah. I know.
What was that Instacart? Because when it showed up, we happened to be outside. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you have the wrong address. We didn't order anything.
Yeah.
And he looks at his phone. He goes, no, 1111 Vista del Lago. And I said, I didn't place this order. Is it from someone? And we hadn't seen what was in the bag. And he said, well, let me look and see if I can see who it's from. And at the same time, we look in the bags and they're full of radishes.
You didn't even need the note at that point.
No, no. It was great. It was great. And there's radishes on the
there
table now.
There were way more than 100 radishes in there, too.
There were so many. Yeah. I've never seen so many radishes.
Yeah. What do you think when you eat this?
It leaves me feeling nothing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, there's no high or low. It's just a...
The pepperiness? It's just a radish. You don't get excited about that?
Not... It's not... Maybe... I've had jicama a few times.
It reminds me. Stop. No, it's not the same.
I might prefer jicama to a radish.
You stop that right now. It's got a spice and
it's
like
got a little
pepperiness.
It does.
Better flavor. But yeah, jicama is almost nothing.
Jicama does have the same texture, mm-hmm. or maybe a little grainier. Mm-hmm. I love that I've got
my mom things. Used to eat radishes and other veggies too. I've told Lindsay this, carrots, and mm-hmm. and she would. She wouldn't do it frequently, but she would pour salt into a little bowl, and then she'd have her few radishes and her carrots and just kind of dip into the salt. And
I wonder if there's some trauma there with that.
Yeah,
for you.
Maybe.
I really enjoyed hanging out with Dennis and Casey Kehoe of Kehoe Carbon Cookware in Los Osos, California. They're each artisans in their own way, with Dennis pounding out the pans and Casey running the business side of things. After this interview at my house, I took my husband and some friends out to the Kehoe's home to see Dennis at work, and the artistry was remarkable. Really, for those of us who live nearby, we're lucky to have people like Dennis and Casey here. In this clip, Dennis describes how Kehoe Carbon Cookware started, all with one little pan.
So I made the very first pan. It was a Christmas gift to Casey.
That's awesome.
It was 2018. And we already had our own business doing architectural ironwork mm-hmm. and kind of featuring kind of artistic custom mm-hmm. metalwork. And we had the idea of having some kind of product to, you know, work on in between these bigger commission jobs. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't thinking pans yet. I just had, you know, saw these carbon steel pans and I was like, you know, I could make one of those and I'll make Casey one for Christmas. So I did, and we just fell in love with it. And it worked better than our cast irons that we had been babying for 15 years.
Wow, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So, and listener, I've got three of these right in front of me. And, God, they're so... They are a real work of art. Why do you say that these are better than the cast iron you've been babying all those years?
Yeah, so steel is denser, so it heats up faster. Mm-hmm. It's so slick and smooth that the non-stick performance works really well kind of right away.
Yeah.
You know, cast iron, there's more texture to it, mm-hmm. which gives it more depth as far as seasoning and carrying that season over into the next meal you prepare. Mm-hmm. Carbon steel is just so smooth that nothing really wants to stick to it if mm-hmm. it has a good seasoning on it. So that's what we noticed right away was how mm-hmm. quick it heated up mm-hmm. and how well things
were
cooked
on it
and didn't stick to it.
Yeah.
And
is that even before? Well, so I have a lot of.
We should have brought the original pan now that we're talking about it.
Do you use it all the time still?
Daily, twice a day.
And I bet it looks just as good as the first day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very original, right? So, like, this was a progression.
Yeah.
So, cooking and looking at the original is the everyday thing, and to see where mm-hmm. it's come, you know, it's beautiful.
That's it for this quick stroll down memory lane on the Consumed podcast. To hear these interviews and many others, head to letsgetconsumed.com, where you can search and peruse episodes, see photos, and get recipes. You can also sign up for the Consumed newsletter list, which offers updates on the podcast, more recipes, and even more than that. Special thanks to Chris Lambert for doing the original editing on all these episodes, and to Alexandra Wallace for the lovely collage celebrating the 20th season. Until next time, I'm Jamie Lewis.